الحمد لله الحمد لله، فجر الماء من الجلمود وأخرج الثمر من يابس العود وهو الكريم الودود. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد، شهادة راجل للحسنى والمزيد. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ذو المقام المحمود والحوض المورود، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تترى ما أورق عود وقهقهت رعود وأبرمت وعود. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وزد وبارك على النبي العدنان وآله المنتخبين الأخيار، ومن نهل من معينه السر المدرار ما ناح الشادي وحد الحادي. ثم أما بعد، our brothers in Iman, our sisters in Islam, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is our topic today? What is the topic? Wahhabis. Right? Just like that. Right? Wahhabis. Now, the reason why I started smiling at the beginning when I said assalamu alaikum the first time, before even saying alhamdulillah, I saw the monitor right in front of me that I have 45 minutes remaining. And you know, that's my full time to warm up. So we will just, you know, go straight to the point so that we can cover what we want to cover today. Bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The topic, as announced a few days, and also last night by the Sheikh, Al-Wahhabiyya. Now, before I start that topic, I would like to quote Galen in his statement, "The chief merit of language is clearness." Galen was born 129 and died 216. He said, "The chief merit of language is what?" What is it again? The chief merit of language is what? I think the brother's sleeping. I need some milkshake to warm up. The chief merit of language is clearness. Meaning to make topics clear so that people will understand what you want to talk or what you're saying or what you're talking about. So to make this topic clear about Wahhabiyya, I would like to say the term that people use saying Wahhabiyya, if that term is to be used, is supposed to be Wahhabiyya, not Wahhabiyya, with the shadda on the ha. Because those who start to use this term, referring it to the Shaykh or this movement, Al-Wahhabiyya, they're referring it to the Shaykh that was born in Arabian Peninsula, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. So because of that last name, they started calling his, you know, da'wah, and what he taught or what he used to teach, da'wah that he promoted, da'wah to tawheed, they start to call those who call to the same thing that he called to, rahimahullah, they say they are Wahhabiyya, but they say it without no shadda on the ha, and that is incorrect, because what they're referring to is the name of Almighty Jalla Jalalu, as Almighty mentioned in Surati Al Imran in chapter 3, page 50. From verse 7 and 8, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about his name, innaka anta al-wahhab. So it's Wahhab, one of Allah's name, al-wahhab, but it's not al-wahhab. Now, the word Wahhabiyya, we all know prophets and messengers that came from Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the first messenger of Allah, because Nuh was the first messengers to be sent. So this prophet and messenger of Almighty, Nuh, when he was sent to his people, they used to worship. He found out that the people that he was sent to, they used to worship, or some of them used to worship Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. These five righteous slaves, as the hadith mentioned, and also Athar came, they were some group of righteous. But when they died, the people made their own statues and they said, let's worship them. Then they became like false idols, that people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, as the time passed by, start to worship them. So Wad, or if you want, you can say Wud. So either Wad or Wud. وَقُلْ وُدَّمْ بِهِ الضَّمُّ أُعْمِلَ. So Wud, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasra. These were the five individuals. Some authors said they were righteous, but what happened when they died? Their own followers said, no, let's remember them so that they will give us like some nashat and encouragement to worship Allah more. So they made statues in their own forms and shapes. Later on, people start to worship them. So who remembered their names? Number one, Wud or Wad. Number two, Suwa'. Number three, Yaghuth. Number four, Ya'uq. Number five. These were the names that Allah himself mentioned in Quran in Surah Nuh. If you've memorized Surah Nuh, it will be much easier. In Surah Nuh, that is chapter 71, page of Almighty in this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this 571, verse 23. وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدَّ وَلَا سُوَاعَ وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرَ وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. When Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam started his da'wah, the people that used to follow Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the kafirs during his time, they start to block his way. They say, don't believe in Nuh and do not accept Noah's message. But what we want you to worship are those individuals. So Prophet Nuh cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال نوح الرب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزدوا ماله وولده إلا خسارة ومكروا مكرا كبارا. Then Almighty mentioned the five names. So when Prophet Nuh made the dua, Allah responded to his dua. But the point here is, when he came with his message, he had enemies. He had enemies. After him, Prophet Abraham came. When he started with his message, he had enemies, including his father, Azar. Thus, in Bukhari, on the day of Qiyamah, he will meet his father, Azar. وَعَلَى وَجِيهِ قَطُرَةٌ وَغَبْرَةٌ. His father will be completely messed up on the day of Qiyamah. Dust all over his, you know, body. Prophet Ibrahim will say to him, Ya Abati, Alam Aqul Laka La Ta'sini. Oh my father, have I not informed you in dunya not to disobey me? The father will say to the son, فَلْيَوْمَ لَا أَعْصِيك. You see today, just command me with whatever you want and I will obey. Will never what disobey you today. Then Abraham will call Allah, oh Allah, is there any humiliation than seeing myself in Jannah, whereas my father in hellfire? Allah will say to Ibrahim, حَرَّمْتُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Jannah is forbidden for the non-believers. They will never be there. Then Nuh and Prophet Abraham will say, وَعَدْتَنِي رَبِّي أَلَّا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. You've promised me in dunya not to humiliate me on the day that you will revive or bring back, resurrect your own slaves. So if I see myself in Jannah and my father in Jahannam, there's no enjoyment. So he's complaining. Then Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam talking to his father. The father will say, I will not disobey you. Then he will remind his father what he said to him that Almighty mentioned in Quran. Allah subhanahu jalla jalalu wa amma nawalu. In this Quran, he mentioned about Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and what happened to him in Surah Maryam, that is chapter 19. He said, Ya Abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsir wa la yughni anka shay'a. Ya Abati, inni قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكَ فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا. يا أبتي لا تعبد الشيطان إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا. Long story short, they denied him. And then Prophet Ibrahim became their enemy. After Prophet Musa came, Yahud attempted to kill him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that prophets that we sent, most of them were killed, where most were denied. So when he came with this message, what did he say to the Jews? Here is what he said. He said to them, "Hear, O Israel." And this is what is mentioned in the book, in Bible, that is in Old Testament. The Torah is mentioned in Old Testament, in the book of Torah, according to King James Version, page 168, chapter 6, you pull from verse 4. When he said to them, "Oh, hear you, Israel, the Lord, thy God is one." And then he went forward to say, "No one shall worship other than God Almighty," the one who sent him. But later on, he became their enemies. After him, Prophet Isa came. Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, the prophet of Galilee. When he came to Bani Israel with his da'wah, he became their enemies. He said to them, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy the law or the prophet, but to what fulfilled." This is what he said to them, as the book of Matthew, which is the first book in New Testament, in chapter 5, verse 17, page 749. And also, you take from page 794, this is what he said, chapter 5, verse 17. According to King James Version, he became their enemies. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his da'wah, the same da'wah of those prophets, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Nuh, Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, those prophets of Almighty, all of them came with Tawheed. And Tawheed is to single Almighty in Ibadah. It's to worship Allah alone. It's never to call somebody along with Allah, not to cry to any image on this on the face of this earth other than Allah, not to bow down to any but Allah, not to make dua to any but Allah, not to make no tawaf around any house but that which Almighty Allah had appointed as the first sacred house erected for mankind as place of worship. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَ وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So when our messenger came with his da'wah of at-tawheed, confirming the prophet's message before him, the same thing, he became their enemies. So Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came, Nawfal, the uncle of his wife, radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, Waraqa, as Imam al-Bukhari mentioned, he said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, get to know the message that you came with, this da'wah of tawheed that you came with, this message of ibadatillahi wahda that you promoting, none of the prophets before you had ever come with its likeness, illa uzi, except he will be what? Harmed. Except he was harmed. All the prophets, all the messengers that came with this type of da'wah, with the da'wah that you are about to promote, get to know you will have enemies, people will harm you, you will be disturbed, and they might try or attempt to kick you out of your own place. Then Prophet ﷺ said, "Awa mukhrijiyahum, will they indeed kick me out?" He was like puzzling and bewildering. Is that possible? I did not come to hate them. I did not come to disturb them. I did not come to curse. I did not come to play no game. I came with the da'wah. Call them to salvation. Call them to tawheed. Call them back to Allah. So if I did not harm them, I did not curse them, I did not cast no aspersion on them, why will they kick me out of my own time, out of my own town, and out of my own place? No falsetto. This da'wah that you're trying to promote, this is the sunnah of Allah. If you try to promote it, you will have a lot of enemies. The point that I'm making right now, brothers, now sisters alike, this is just like a foundation that I'm trying to lay so that we will understand the issue of Wahhabiyya and how the term Wahhabiyya came about. So here, we Muslims know, all prophets, all messengers of Allah, they were harmed. Some of them were killed. ثم أرسلنا رسلنا تترى كل جاء أمة الرسول هكذبوه فأتبعنا بعضهم بعضا وجعلناهم أحاديث. All of them were denied. Few of them actually found, you know, companions and Hawariyin and those Ansar around them. So here, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Nawfal, will they really do it? He said, yes, they will. But laytani kuntu jadha'a. I wish and hope that that moment when they will attempt to take you out of your own place, Mecca, I will be a young man. You know, young man. So that I will support you then. Because he was old the moment he was telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this. This is to prove that the youngsters that sitting, you know, this is our time, this is our age. If you understand the issue of Tawheed, many, many people will understand the issue of Tawheed through you. So you have to stand up with Tawheed, understand Tawheed, and teach Tawheed. The most important aspect of our deen is the knowledge of Tawheed. So Nawfal was saying, if I will be young, that moment that your own people will kick you out, I will support you, but I'm old. That is to show that, you know, if Imam has, you know, some young ones next to him that been lifting some weight and get some muscles like Mike Tyson, you know, he can give a lot of Tawheed and nobody will disturb him. But if Imam knows that he is there by himself and he is big like me, you know, with big, big muscles, you know, skinny sitting, maybe on the minbar and promoting the da'wah of Tawheed, they're going to say, well, this Imam, we're going to deal with him. What is it? What the Imam thinks he's doing? And then by the time you finish promoting Tawheed, maybe you offend somebody, you leave in the minbar, they meet you outside and give you some uppercut and turn into Ape Man or Bruce Lee onto you. But if you have people to support you in Tawheed, you can promote what? You can promote that Tawheed. So all of them were denied. Most of them were killed. So here is when Mraraqa ibn Nawfal said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this type of da'wah, when you start it, you will have what? You will have what? You will have enemies. Brothers and sisters, this da'wah, when you hold on to it, you will have a lot of enemies. So Saudi Arabia, where we going for Hajj, where we going for Umrah, where we going for our ibadah, where we going to make Umrah, this place that we see in today, Saudi Arabia, do you know, 300 years ago, that was where a lot of shirk, associating partners with Allah, there were a lot and a lot of Muslims 300 years ago in Saudi making tawaf. Instead of making tawaf around Kaaba, they make tawaf around Adriha and Qubur, make tawaf around graves, call people besides Allah in their graves, make sujood, like that sujood you making when you go in any masjid for Allah. They used to make sujood to graves, scholars, awliya, righteous, and they used to call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they used to call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave light to this city, to this country, Mecca, Saudi, in general, for a man, young man to be born, known as Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. When shirk was all over Mecca, when shirk was all over Najd, when shirk was all over, in, you know, Taba or Yathrib or Qasim, shirk in all corners of Saudi Arabia, this Imam was born. Imam known as Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, year 1115. And then he died year 1206. When was he born? 1,100 what? 15 and died when? 1,200 what? 6. 1,200 what?
That's how many years? How long did he live?
And that will be too much.
He lived 91 years on this dunya, on this land. In dunya, he lived 91. Allah prolonged the life of this imam to give a lot of da'wah for this country. So what you see in Saudi, the way Saudi to turn to be the place of tawheed after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many years, this imam, Shaykhul Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he is one of the cause and one of the pillars for Saudi to be Saudi today. For Saudi to be the place of tawheed today through the effort of this imam. So when he came, people worshiping graves, calling other than Allah, crying to the dead, making dua to them, bowing down to them, making some dhikr and shirk in the deen of Allah, this imam came. When the imam came, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he started learning. Very young age, imam memorized the entire Quran. Started learning different books of fiqh, but he started with Hanbaliya school of thought. That's why you see in Saudi, you know, like the Sheikh Muhammad Ali, Hafizahullah, he said to me, you know, Somali, he said, you know, we Shafi, you get nothing to do with Abu Hanifa. The people in also maybe West Africa will say, we are only Maliki. People in Egypt will say, we are only Shafi'i. You see? So this imam, he started learning about Hanbali school of thought. Now the madhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was the first, because during their time in Mecca, that's what they were learning. When he finished, he started opening different books, learning different madhahib, learning about Imam Ahmad, learning about Imam Malik's way, learning about Imam al-Shafi'i's way, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Imam al-Zuhri. Those imams that came before him, he started learning about their ways. His father said, hold on a minute, what do you think you're doing? Just stick to what? Hanbali. Just like maybe our brother from Pakistan, they say, stick to Abu Hanifa. In Africa, stick to Imam Malik. You know, in Egypt, stick to Imam Shafi'i. He says, stick to Imam Hanbali. That's it. He said, but this is deen of Allah. We have to learn and keep on what? Promoting our ilm and knowledge. His father get mad at him. When this imam finished memorizing Quran and started learning, reading different books, he traveled to Basra. He traveled all out the Hijaz, seeking mazid min al-ilm, seeking knowledge. You know, sitting with imams, sitting with scholars, taking from them, learning ahkam from them. When he came back, he started teaching tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I said earlier, whoever teaches tawheed of Allah, what will he have? He's going to have enemies. So do you think this imam will be left alone if he wants to follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you think he will be left alone? No. He started giving da'wah. He knew he had enemies. He did not forget them, but he did not care about them either. Just like what they call John F. Kennedy. He said, you know, forgive your enemies, but don't forget their names. That's how Imam kept it straight. He remembered that those people do not like his da'wah, but he didn't care about them. He started with tawheed. When he started with tawheed, his people start to disturb him, just like prophets before, from Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa. So if these 4 to 5 prophets and messengers, the best, were denied, harmed, ignored, and attempted to be killed, do you think they will leave someone who is not prophet and who is not messenger? No. So this is what happened to this imam, Shaykhul Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He start to renew the da'wah of tawheed. He start to teach people that making tawaf, calling other than Allah, making sujood to somebody else, and making some dua to somebody other than Allah, all is shirk. Because during that time, people in Mecca, people in Najd, people in his among his own family, because he is known as Tamimi from the tribe of Tamim, one of the best tribes of Arabs, Tamim, that's the tribe of Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an, the first Khalifa of this Ummah, Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His tribe, this Imam has this lineage to Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. He is also from the tribe of Tamim. فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ رَعَيْتَ أَبِي فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ رَأَيْتَ عَبِيدَ تَيْمٍ وَتَيْمًا قُلْتَ أَيُّهُمُ الْعَبِيدُ وَيُقْضَى الْأَمْرُ حِينَ تَغِيبُ تَيْمٌ وَلَا يُسْتَأْمَرُونَ وَهُمْ شُهُودُ. These tribe of Taym were the best, one of the best tribe till this moment. So this Imam was from that tribe, but yet they didn't care about his tribe. They say, if you don't stop with Tawheed, even Prophet ﷺ, the best tribe ever, Quraysh, yet they disturb him with his own Tawheed. So when the Imam started, you know, he was kicked out of his own place. And when you start with the da'wah, calling people to worshiping Allah alone, you will have more enemies than calling to anything else. So this is what happened to this Imam. When he started with his da'wah calling, he was kicked out. Later on, Ibn Saud in Saudi, he supported the Imam. He said, don't worry about them, I'm here to help. So write whatever you want to write, I will print it out for you. Take whatever you want to take as da'wah of Allah, I'm here supporting you. And write whatever. So Imam said, MashaAllah, now that I have a chance, let me start writing. He started to write books. The first book he wrote is Kitab al-Tawheed. What was the first book? You see how the Tawheed is rooted in his chest? You see how much the Imam loved Tawheed? Kitab al-Tawheed. But this Imam is phenomenal. This Imam is unbelievable. The Imam doesn't talk too much. You know the Imam? He doesn't talk that much. He will not tell you this, this, this. His books, when he mentions one statement, he will support that statement at least with more than three proofs from Quran. And sometimes he doesn't even speak. He does not say anything. When he starts writing, he starts with just right away with ayat from Quran. Because when you have Quran as your proof, is there anyone who can twist that proof? Nobody. But when you start to say, you know, I think, I believe, yeah, this, this or that, that's when you're going to have some problems. So Imam started writing the book of Tawheed. When he started the book of Tawheed, the first book he wrote, he did not write this. Or the first thing he started with, Kitab al-Tawheed. Wa qawluhu ta'ala. Kitab al-Tawheed and the saying of Almighty the Most High. Right away, straight to the point. He doesn't waste no time. When he wrote, Wa qawlullahi ta'ala and the saying of Almighty the Most High, what did you think he start with? Quran. And do you know the verse he started with? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's the first ayah that Imam started with. The second ayah, he followed this with, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَجِتَنِبُ الطَّغُوتِ. The third ayah, Imam mentioned the saying of Almighty Allah, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The fourth ayah, Imam wrote in his book. You see, till this moment, did he say something from his own self? From himself? Did he mention? No, he didn't. Ayah after ayah, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So the first ayah, the Imam started with ayah. The second ayah, third ayah, and then he closed. قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So he started the first, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Or he started by saying, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat Dharwa, and that is chapter 51, page 522-23 in Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 55 to 57. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَكِّرْ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn or mankind, save to what? Joke around? Have fun? Just think what they want to think in dunya and don't know to come in this dunya and what? And worship me. Then he followed this ayah by the following, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Verily, we've sent to each and every nation what? A messenger. When that messenger comes, what is his first message? أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Worship Allah one and only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah An-Nahl in chapter 16, page 271, verse 36. Then Imam also mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, that is chapter 4, page 84 to 86. But right on ayah 36, Imam mentioned this page 84, verse 36, Allah said, وَعَبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah, one and only, and never what? Never what, brothers? I hope the sisters also following. Never what? Associate no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah, one and only, nobody else. Do not call anything along with Allah or besides Allah. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And he also quoted the saying of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Bani Israel, known as Isra. In Surah Isra, that is chapter 17, page 285. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in ayah 23, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. And your Lord had decreed that none is worthy of worship except He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And that to be kind to our parents. Then He also followed by quoting the saying of Almighty in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6, page 148, verse 150 and 151. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Say to the world, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come to me, let me recite unto you the things that Almighty Allah forbade you. What Allah doesn't want you to do. Number one, Allah tushriku bihi shay'a. And that is, do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the ayat that he started with. And then after that hadith, so the book of Tawheed, in the book of Tawheed, for Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, is nothing but ayah, hadith, and also the benefit that you could get out of these two scriptures of Almighty or Wahyain. So, in the book of Tawheed, first that Imam mentions is ayah, and then when he finishes with his ayah, he follows with what? Hadith. He will never say, I think, or this is this, or this is that. Right away, he goes to what? The benefit that a person could get out of that hadith and ayat. Imam, after that, he wrote many books. He wrote the book of Masailul Jahiliyyah. Masailul Jahiliyyah is a book that Imam wrote. He dealt with the issue that Prophet Muhammad SAW disagreed with the people of Jahiliyyah. Who were the people of Jahiliyyah? What are the people of Jahiliyyah? Abu Jahl? Huh? What is Jahiliyyah? Huh? Now Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic period that Prophet ﷺ met his own people worshipping idols, these, they had their own issues. But when this Imam came, he found that his own people, what they're doing is similar to what Prophet ﷺ's people used to do before his what? Before his what? Before his prophecy and da'wah. So he said, what you are doing is just like what Jahiliyyah people used to do. Then he wrote the book Masailul Jahiliyyah. Issues that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ disagreed with his own people that did not believe in his da'wah. And then he went against them. Al-mas'alatul ula. أنهم يتعبدون بإشراك الصالحين في عبادتهم. The first thing that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم found his own people doing is that they used to worship other than Allah. When they were asked why, they say, we're not worshiping them per se. What we're doing is that we are calling Allah through them, because they will what? Intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah. Just like today, some turuq al-sufiya, some new way of al-sufiya, worshiping graves, calling other than Allah, calling Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, calling Sayyid Bannuni, calling Ibrahim al-Nyas, calling different imams other than Allah in your graves. When you ask them why, you go, people calling Imam al-Shatib in his grave, Sayyid Bannuni, calling Sayyida Fatima, Sayyida Zainab in your graves, you ask them why do you think they will tell you, no, we just worshiping them? They will say, no, we not worshiping them. What we're doing is that we calling Allah through them because they are more pious than us. That is what Imam is mentioning here, that this is exactly what prophet people used to do. But when he came, he disagreed with them. So he mentioned up to 128 mas'ala, issues that prophet did not agree with his own people upon their shirk. How many mas'ala? How many issues did Imam mention in this book? How many? 128 issues. All prophet did not agree with his own people. He did not tolerate. He did not succumb. He did not welcome. He did not agree with them, but he gave them something better than what they used to do. So this Imam, when he wrote the book of Masail al-Jahiliyyah, you know, some people get some, you know, some beef in their hearts concerning the Imam, and hatred start to generate. After that, Imam wrote, you know, ma yatamayyazu bi al-muslimu an al-mushrik. In just the difference between Muslim and mushrik. That's the meaning of it. What makes Muslim different from mushrik? Do you know what the Imam started with? Imam started very simple. The first thing that Almighty Allah created us, and he did not leave us, you know, for nothing. When he created us, he did not forget to give us book. What he did, he sent Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave him book to come and teach us. And in that book, inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum kama arsalna ila fir'auna rasula fa'asa fir'aunur rasul fa'akhadhnahu akhdhan wabila. We've sent messenger to you Muslims just like we did to the people of Israel, those Banu Israel. So exactly Imam is telling them, we Muslims, there are issues that we should not play with. And these issues make us different from non-Muslims, from kafirs, from kuffar. But if you tolerate and you don't know them, you will be just like them or one of them. So Imam wrote this book. After that, he wrote Nawaqidul Islam, what makes your Islam nullified. After that, he wrote the book of At-Taghut. After that, Imam wrote the book of Qawaid Arba'ah. He wrote also Sittat Usul. The reason why I cannot mention what he mentioned in them, because I can see in front of me, I have 9 minutes. So I have to be, you know, moving just like Ferrari or, you know, BMW. You see, Sittat Usul, 6 different issues, fundamentals in this deen that Muslims should know and do not play with. The first, Imam is mentioning here, Ikhlasu Deen Lillah, to what? Make the deen sincere for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning to worship him alone and do not call somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. And also when you make dua or when you pray. In the Kitab al-Tawheed, what he ended up his kitab with is that Babu ma ja'a fi imayati an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hima al-Tawheed wa saddihi turuq al-shirk, meaning the protection of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by blocking the way of shirk. He came with Tawheed and he gave us what? Way to understand Tawheed, and he prohibited what? Shirk. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was his main focus. So this was the focus of this Imam. In Qawaid al-Arba'ah, the same thing. When you read the book of At-Taghut, Ma'na At-Taghut, the definition of At-Taghut, Imam wrote a book known as Ma'na At-Taghut, the definition of what? At-Taghut. The first thing that he said, I'lam arshadaka Allah. Know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have rushd and guidance for you, that awwala مفترض الله على الإنسان أو على ابن آدم. The first thing that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imposed upon us, sons of Adam, is to know the issue of Taghut and what Taghut is, so that we can avoid shirk and always be upon Tawheed. So this Imam, when he came, during his time, people forget about Tawheed. They forget about Ibadah. They forget about A'mal As-Saliha. They forget. So when he came, he start to what? Give light. He start to give what? Da'wah. He start to give what? A lot of irshad to the people of Mecca during his time. So when he started giving the irshad to the people of Mecca during his time, he became number one what? He became number one what? Number one what? enemy to those who worship in graves, to those who call in different shuyukhs, bowing them in front of them. If you go to Sheikh YouTube today, or ask Doctor Google, or ask Sheikh Yahoo, tap in. The reason why I'm giving them, because today, most especially the young ones, we don't want to go learn. We just want some shortcuts. So today, the students that, we have some microwave students and some drive-through students. You know, when you go to Tim Hortons, the way you drive through and grab your coffee, quickly, just like that. When you're hungry, you just put in the microwave, punch in like 2 minutes, and right away it's what? It's warm. Then you give dawah to that food. But guess what? When you warm it in 2 minutes, if you don't eat it right away, what happens? If you don't eat it in 2 minutes, what happens? That's if you want to be a microwave student, the knowledge, once you get it, it's just going to live just like that too. So being a microwave student is not the best idea. It's not the smart idea either. So this sheikh, that's what he met his people in shirk, shirkiyat, doing a lot of ibadat that Allah did not like. So he kept on promoting. That's why he gained this title, Al-Mujaddid. What is the title again? Al-Mujaddid, the renewer of da'wah to tawheed. So when you hear the name Al-Mujaddid, that's the imam they're talking about, Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Now the big sheikhs that you know today, such as Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, Sheikh Abdul Aziz, such as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, just like Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, just like Muhammad ibn Jibreen, Sheikh al-Allama, just like Abdul Razzaq Afifi, those big, big imams today, all of them, they gained their knowledge as a result of the da'wah of this imam. The big, big sheikhs that we know, that's the result of imams' da'wah. So when they came, they start to also what follow the way and give da'wah. The one who is really, really closer to the sheikh in his da'wah is Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, the former Mufti of Saudi Arabia. May Allah have mercy on him. So the people that were surrounded by the imam and around him disturbing the sheikh, they start to say, you know what? This sheikh is giving us a headache. This sheikh is not letting us breathe. Why he has to mention the issue of shirk? We have many, many topics. Why always? Don't you see all the books that I named from Kitab al-Tawheed, Qawaid al-Arba'ah, about Ma'ana al-Taghut, about Ma yatamayyazu bihi al-Muslimu an al-Mushrik? All the books, when he opens the first in Usul al-Thalatha, nothing but Tawheed of Allah. Ma'rifatu deen al-Islam bil-Adillah. Ma'rifatu Nabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like that, keep on mentioning. So this imam, he made a lot of enemies. So now those who also understood that the da'wah of the imam is not something new. It's actually the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he what took seriously to teach. So when people realize that this imam, if we don't stop him, he's going to create problems. But Allah did not help them to disturb the imam. So at the end, he had many students. So the students start to teach his books. Kitab al-Tawheed, Usul al-Thalatha, Shurut al-Wudu, or Nawaqid al-Islam, or Ma'na al-Taghut. All these books that the imam wrote, worldwide people start to learn them and teach them. Then whenever you stand up in your own country or your own city or your own place to teach, and you start teaching his book, they call you Wahhabi. They call you what? You see how they get that name? But did the imam call his da'wah Wahhabiyya? Imam didn't do it. Did Imam Malik call his own book or his way Malikiyya? Did he? No, he didn't. Imam Shafi'i, did he call it Shafi'iyya? He didn't. Abu Hanifa, did he call it Hanafiyya? He didn't. Imam Ibn Azm, in his way, did he call it Zahiriyya? They didn't. It's just like people that came after to make things easy for them. Just, you know, we have a lot of microwaves also. So it's just like what? Let's make it just like that to the name. Just like Sahih al-Bukhari that you see on my right side in the shelf. Did Imam al-Bukhari call it Sahih al-Bukhari? He didn't call it Sahih al-Bukhari. The title that he gave to his book, the book of Imam al-Bukhari, the title of it, Sahih al-Jami' or al-Jami' al-Sahih. The book that compiled the authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but later on, it became Sahih what? Bukhari, referring back to him. So this Imam, he did not come with something new. It's just people hatred, and people did not like his way. So his student and those who call into Allah's way through the methodology that the Sheikh came with, they start to call the people who are teaching Tawheed and following his way, Wahhabiya people. And people even get confused. And then they start to think Wahhabi, actually they are the terrorists, because they themselves are confused and they cannot differentiate, you know, what Wahhabi is and what Irhabi is. Because Irhabi, or when we say Irhab, that's none but what? Terrorism. So they call those who following the way of the Imam Wahhabiya, and they twisted it to be Irhabiya, like terrorism. This Imam is number one Imam during his time to be against terrorism. He did not teach it, and he wasn't troublemaker, and he did not cause people to doubt the deen of Allah. The only thing that he did is that following the teachings of Prophet before the time that people forgot the way of Allah, he came back to it. And then he teach people. He started teaching them. He taught the entire world. So this is what the Imam did. And that's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, in our deen, we do not have sect to say this is our sect, or this is our group, or we are. We don't have such a thing. So in sa'aluka an jama'atik, faqul huwa sammakum al-muslimin. In sa'aluka an shaykhik, faqul shaykhi rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In sa'aluka an akhiyatik, aw in sa'aluka an jama'atik ba'da al-ula, faqul manhaji wa manhaji man salafa min qabli hadhihi al-umma. In sa'aluka an akhiyatik, faqul ala inna jami'a al-amakin fi hadhihi al-ard masajid. In sa'aluka an manhajik, faqul manhaji. My time is up. The monitor is off. I just warmed up, Ikhwan. I just got to the topic. I told you. You see, I don't want to be a troublemaker here. You see, the monitor say I have zero time remaining. So he gave me zero time remaining 2 minutes ago. So I said, let me just pump up some. Then he just went off. He said, I'm mad at you. Huh? So what's the next point? Okay, Adhan? Huh? Okay, so I think it's Maghrib. So I cannot. Maybe another time we. This is the main. This is like actually like the last show stuff. Like the last thing. We get to the point, but time is up. So inshallah, when we get another time and another opportunity, inshallah, we pump it up a little bit more. But I apologize, you know, for not, you know, warming up quickly. Thank you very much for your time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.